And enjoy your time together. All right. Okay. Well, this cough drop is good. Thank you, Sherry. However, if it pops out, just leave it. just let it go. Okay. You know, many Christians have enjoyed following the inductive Bible study method in helping them go deeper into the Word of God. Now, the inductive part refers to the attempt to use the information about a specific situation to draw a conclusion. And central to this method are the three areas or three key questions to apply to each passage of Scripture that you're studying. Like observation, or what does it say? Interpretation, what does it mean? And application, or what does this now mean for my life? Applying it to my own life and situation. So this method, you know, it's been a great help in studying and applying the wonders and teachings of God's Word in your life. It's been a great help to many. Perhaps you've employed that already. If not, we recommend that you proceed in trying this as you look into the Word of God. But I bring this up because it's right here in the second question of what does it mean that many of the wonders and teachings of God's Word for us get overlooked. And so for a number of weeks, we're going to take a deeper look at some of these wonders and teachings that have been overlooked in order to that we might even get more filled with wonder over God's marvelous teachings that He's revealed to us, to His children, and then to even be more inspired to share them with others concerning what does this mean? All right, speaking about wonders, here's a question for us. Wouldn't you have loved to have witnessed the original creation of the heavens and the earth? Oh, yeah. Just think, the angels had a front row seat in watching God create the universe by the works of His hands and the power of His spoken word. So for just a moment, just to get a glimpse at this wonder, let's take a look at this short video for just a few moments, and then we'll go on. Take a look.
First this, God created the heavens and earth, all you see, all you don't see. Earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. God's Spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. God spoke, light, and light appeared. God saw that light was good, and separated light from dark. God named the light day, He named the dark night. It was evening, it was morning, day one. God spoke, sky, in the middle of the waters, separate water from water. God made the sky. He separated the water under sky from the water above sky. And there it was. He named sky the heavens. It was evening. It was morning. Day two. God spoke. Separate water beneath heaven. Gather into one place. Land. Appear. And there it was. God named the land earth. He named the pooled water ocean. God saw that it was good. God spoke, earth, green up, grow all varieties of seed-bearing plants, every sort of fruit-bearing tree. And there it was. Earth produced green, seed-bearing plants, all varieties, and fruit-bearing trees of all sorts. God saw that it was good. It was evening, it was morning. Day three. God spoke, lights, come out, shine in heaven's sky, separate day from night, mark seasons and days and years, lights in heaven's sky to give light to earth. And there it was. God made two big lights, the larger to take charge of day, the smaller to be in charge of night. And He made the stars. God placed them in the heavenly sky to light up earth and oversee day and night, to separate light and dark. God saw that it was good. It was evening. It was morning. Day four. God spoke, swarm, ocean, with fish and all sea life. Birds fly through the sky over earth. God created the huge whales, all the swarm of life in the waters, and every kind and species of flying birds. God saw that it was good. God blessed them. Prosper, reproduce, fill ocean. Birds, reproduce on earth. It was evening. It was morning. Day 5. God spoke, "Earth, generate life, every sort and kind, cattle and reptiles and wild animals, all kinds." And there it was, wild animals of every kind, cattle of all kinds, every sort of reptile and bug. God saw that it was good. God spoke, "Let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature, so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself, and every animal that moves on the face of the earth." God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them. Prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge. Be responsible for fish in the sea and birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of earth. Then God said, "I've given you every sort of seed-bearing plant on earth and every kind of fruit-bearing tree, given them to you for food, to all animals and all birds, everything that moves and breathes. I give whatever grows out of the ground for food." And there it was. God looked over everything he had made. It was so good, so very good. It was evening. It was morning. Day 6. Heaven and earth were finished, down to the last detail. By the 7th day, God had finished his work. On the 7th day, he rested from all his work. God blessed the 7th day. He made it a holy day, because on that day, he rested from his work, all the creating God had done. This is the story of how it all started, of heaven and earth when they were created.
How about that? Oh yeah, how fantastic it would have been to witness the creation of the heavens and the earth. Well, guess what? In one of the greatest revelations in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John informs us that even though we did not get to witness the original creation of the heavens and the earth, we are going to get to witness the recreation of the heavens and the earth. And we discover this by fleshing out the answer to the question of, what does it mean? After John tells us this in Revelation 21, 1 through 2, he says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea." Fabulous revelation here. But now, before we get very far into this, for all of us coastal Christians who love the beach and the sea and the sounds and the rivers and the estuaries and so on, be assured, when the Apostle John stated there's no longer any sea, he did not intend for any of us, well, to, in using first century terminology, to freak out about it. I'm not sure if that was first century terminology, but the idea is there. You see it? But really, who doesn't love the waters of the earth? And when we say who doesn't, remember who it was who loved the waters first. Look at these verses here from Genesis. "The Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, 'Let there be space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth.'" And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heaven. Oh, yes, it's very clear. God loves the waters of earth. The waters of earth are part of what God called very good, remember? In fact, God loves the waters of earth so much that in the new earth, God places a river that flows directly from his throne in the central area of the eternal capital city of the New Jerusalem. Look at this, Revelation 22, 1. Actually, let's read this through together. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street. How about that? So even in the capital city of the New Jerusalem, there's a river that flows right down the center of Main Street, we could say. So God loves the waters of earth even more than we do. Therefore, be sure of this, that no more sea does not mean no more water. It simply indicates that the new earth will have a different arrangement as far as water is concerned. Remember now, hey, about 3/4 of our globe is covered by water, leaving only 1/4 of it for occupancy. But this won't be the case in the eternal world. And also many believe that John was also using the word sea in the sense that many people associated the sea with danger, storms, separation. Remember, John was separated from the people while out there on the island of Patmos. And so, in this sense, John was kind of using the tool, we could say the tool of grammar, we would call it a hyperbole or an exaggeration in order to make a point here about no more dangers. And we know there won't be any of those dangers in the new world. So again, God loved the waters of the earth of his original creation. And so you can rest assured he will make sure there will be bodies of waters on the earth in his re-creation. And get this, since it's also indicated that the new earth will no doubt be much enlarged. As think of it, just the capital city is 1,500 miles across. There will be plenty of area for plenty of bodies of water. And plus, remember, God also loved the fish that he created to live in the waters. In fact, if you recall, Jesus is the one who made a fish breakfast on the banks of the Galilee for his disciples after his resurrection. So we could say, no worries, fishermen mates. You've got it covered, all right? Okay, now on to what John said about God creating recreating the new heaven and new earth. And back to what this means. Another aspect of Bible interpretation has to do with what is called the historical, grammatical, and contextual elements of Bible interpretation. In other words, when we're doing our observation and our interpretation and our application, we are to pay special attention to the historical setting of the passage, as well as trying to grasp what the author was actually saying with the words he chose and to whom he was speaking, and along with the context in which he was speaking. And speaking of context here, it's helpful to remember the old and yet very important saying that when it comes to the rule of context, right, context rules. There you go. That's great, isn't it? Okay, back to the passage. So, what is the context of John's revelation here? What had just concluded before John tells us about the creation of the new heaven and new earth? Right. What had just concluded was the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ upon the renovated earth, where his church and the assembly of the saved of Israel had reigned with him. And at the conclusion of that millennial reign, remember, Satan had been loosed from his internment and was allowed to gather the last vestiges of any of the unsaved that had been born in the millennial period from those who had directly entered the millennium when Jesus returned to earth to set up his kingdom on earth. So, the millennial kingdom, this is really interesting, will be a unique time when both the resurrected people and then pre-resurrected people, or those who were present on earth when Jesus returns, are dwelling together and interacting together upon earth. Now, we think, whoa, that seems really strange to us. But it won't seem strange to them. What will be strange is that the saved who enter the kingdom directly when Jesus returns will continue to have children. And many will open their heart to the Messiah King who's reigning upon earth. But even when Christ is reigning in person upon earth, there will be those who still will not repent. Still will not repent. And you know, that just shows just how deep the rebellious nature of human nature really is. And then, but after that final rebellion then is quashed, well then, the great white throne judgment takes place, in which the unrepentant and the unsaved of the ages receive their sentences of eternal separation from the God whom they had not received as their Lord and Savior. And they are removed from God's presence. And therefore, all that are left in God's presence are all the saved from all the ages who make up God's forever family. And that is the context. And so with all of God's family now with their Lord and Savior, what do they see God do next? Right. God's family now watches as God recreates the heavens and earth. And along with all of God's holy angels, God's resurrected human family all have front row seats watching God create the universe again before their very eyes. What do you say to that? We could just go on. Like, hallelujah, praise God, thank you, Lord. Just whatever you like. Go for it. So, you know, we missed the first original creation of the heavens and the earth, but we are going to watch the next one. The recreation. Or, as some call it, the resurrection of the heavens and earth into a new glorified version of the heavens and earth. And in this new heaven and new earth, oh, this will be pronounced very, very, very good, or something like that. Or in heavenly language, some people are going to freak out in a good way this time. About it? No, I don't know if that's going to even be a saying in the new heavenly language. Perhaps, but... When we got to Moscow, one of the Russian pastors there said that the language of heaven would be Russian. And because he said, Paul said, when he was caught up into the third heaven, he heard words that he couldn't speak. Well, it had to be Russian. Plus, it takes an eternity to learn it. Too many consonants all in a row, you know. One guy said, well, you know, one of the nicest things anyone could do for Russia would be to fly a plane over the country dropping out vowels to the people. Oh, that'd be such a nice thing. Da. Yeah. You know, to say God bless you, in Russian, you have to say "Da Bogoslavit vas Bog." Da Bogoslavit vas Bog. Well, it takes a lot of energy to speak that, but anyway, whatever the language is or languages are, we will all be completely fluent in them or in it. But again, in the context of what John reveals to us about this recreation of the new heaven and new earth, included in what this means is this. It means that we are included in the whole scene, since we are right there with God when He does it. Talk about something to look forward to, huh? Plus, since nothing that is righteous and holy is impossible with God, well, it is entirely possible that God may even want to show His family how He created it all in the first place. Think about it. You know, if the finite minds of man can create a video depicting the creation of the world, what do you think our infinite and omniscient and omnipotent God can come up with in depicting or re-imaging His original creation for us, huh? Yeah, do you ever think about things like why the universe is so big? Even now, scientists estimate there's somewhere between 100 to 200 billion galaxies in the universe besides our own. My, what kind of plans do you think God has in mind to do with them in the coming world after He remakes or remodels even them? Can you imagine what kind of a theater a galaxy could provide for the things God wants to show His children? Either about the history of our own world or even the future of things to come in the new world? Or can you imagine even what these wondrous new heavens are going to look like or contain? And even, why is that of interest to us in the first place? Who put that interest in us for exploration and discovery? Well, what's the source? Of course, the one who made us in His own image put these righteous desires within us. And so if you connect these righteous desires for exploration and discovery to what Paul once revealed to us, then it really boggles your mind in a good way. Look at this. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. Wow. So even however amazing and fantastic you can imagine God's recreation of the new heavens and new earth to be, along with whatever activities and opportunities that God has planned for us in them all, oh, it's all far beyond what you can even imagine. It's far beyond that. And brothers and sisters, that's just the kind of God we serve. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's amazing. We serve an awesome God. And since we're speaking about witnessing the recreation or the resurrection of the new heavens and earth, and since we mentioned the millennial period that follows Christ's return to the earth, well, guess what that also means? Since Christ brings His church back with Him when He returns, it also means that we are going to witness God's work of renovating this present earth for His kingdom reign on the earth. And do you remember one of the astonishing things that happens in the renovation of this present earth for the millennial kingdom? Well, one of those things is that peace is restored even into the animal kingdom. Oh, yeah. And that means that your playful pets will now include animals like lions and tigers and bears. Oh my! Right. Oh my. Well, that's one of the things peace means. When the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, comes to reign upon the earth, God has a plan for us. What this means is we're going to be with Him to watch it all, with Him forever. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, as we look into Your Word and we see the revelation of things to come, we are overwhelmed. We thank You, Lord, for informing us, for instructing us, for teaching us about the things that You have planned. And we can't even imagine what all that includes. Well, we thank You, Lord, that we are included in it all because we're Yours, because we're children of God, by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It's Your gift to us. And so, Lord, we pray that some of these wonders and these teachings will just continue to inspire and challenge us and motivate us to live for You, knowing what's ahead, knowing that now You're doing wondrous things in and through Your people. And so, Lord, thank You for this consolation, this comfort, this repose that we have because of who You are and whose we are. We're Yours. And Lord, let us inspire us to communicate to others the reality that this is Your world, the earth is the Lord's, and all it contains. It's all Yours, Lord. And so may more and more recognize this and bow the knee to You, give their lives to the King of Kings and the Savior of their lives. We thank You, Lord, for this time. We pray that You've been honored and Your Word has been honored. You've been worshipped as You deserve, our great God and King. We give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.